April 17th, 2024. We're continuing in Moreh Nevuchim in Chelek Gimal Perek Lamedaled. Harambam is nearing the end, or really hitting the end, of his introduction to Ta'ameh HaMisvot in this section of the Moreh. He's set out to initially introduce the fact that there are reasons for mitzvot. They can be broken into several groups. And then, after doing so and stating very clearly every mitzvah has a reason, it's to effectuate change in a person, in a nation, in a connectedness, and so forth, he then sets forth the reasons for all those mitzvot. We touched on one of the mitzvot reason last week, and contradictions and difficulties that lay within that conversation, really because we began the conversation with, well, all mitzvot have reasons, and that's what brought us into it. But we aren't and weren't really through with the introduction yet. In this last of chapters, it really is, it's because Perek Lamed Hei starts his groupings of mitzvot and of different types of purposes of mitzvot. So in this last one, Harambam sets forth a very famous and oftentimes controversially understood and dealt with principle with regards to mitzvot. And it's brief and to the point. So let's read what he says and try to spend a little bit of time, at the very least, analyzing it. Writes Harambam, Hayava taladat. It's necessary that you know, gamkin, as well. She'en ha-Torah shoa el he-harig. Harig means out of the norm. Shoa means listen or pay attention to. In other words, the Torah isn't focused upon, and he's referring to the mitzvot of the Torah, all of the out of the norm of out of the majority individuals and circumstances. He explains, ve'enat zivui behetem lami'ut. Commands, mitzvot, don't always match up with minority individuals' mindsets and proclivities. Ela bechol de'a mida o ma'aseh mo'il shirosim lehasig. In any thought and any character trait and any action which is a positive one which we want to achieve, mitkavenim lidvarim she'al pi rov. God's intention in the Torah is for the masses, for the majority of circumstances and people. Ve'en shoim ledavar hamemaet likrot o lenezek hapogea be'adam echad biglal hakivya hazot vehanhagat haTorah. And in turn, there's not a focus and a dealing with the individuals or the minorities who are outside of this. Just to give you an example, you see, last week we talked about the portion briefly where Harambam talks about how kashrut is purposed to be to bring forth health for human beings. That's how he describes his general understanding of kashrut. Okay, what if there's a person who's, here's the example, how about this? Pesach is coming up. What about a person who's celiac? So how come the Torah doesn't say, if we're understanding this as the Torah's mandate, as the rabbis do, that masa needs to be from hameshet mine dagan? That's the mandate, according to the rabbis of the Torah, needs to be from the five grains. How come the Torah doesn't say, but it can also be from, I don't know, rice. It can also be from other things for those individuals. It's a silly example, but it's what's on my mind right now. The idea being that the Torah is purposed for the masses of people, for the majority of circumstances and people. Ki haTorah hi sivui eloki, says Harambam, because the Torah is a divine mandate. Tuchal litbonen bidvarim hativiim shemeotan to'alot liklal hanimsaot behem mitchayevim nezakim lipratim kemo sheyitbarer midvarenu midivrei zulatenu. What Harambam sets forth over here, and he elaborates again upon in the next paragraph, is, well, if both nature and Torah are God-given, look at nature. Understand that in nature, not every person adapts and fits into every circumstance situation the same way as the other. It just isn't so. That's the way the world works. And as such, the Torah, given and built and set forth by the same being, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is going to be the same way. Behetem lehitboninut zot, being consistent with this sort of vantage point, al titpale, don't be surprised, gamken shekavanat haTorah ena museget bechol prat uprat. Don't be surprised that the kavanat haTorah, the purpose of the Torah, won't be achieved under all circumstances, with every detail. Ela mitchayev, it's necessary. You have to accept behechreah. There'll be certain things in the Torah. I gave you dangerous situation. Leave danger outside of it for a moment or two and understand there's going to be actions which, for some people, for some times, won't help us achieve shlemut in any of the ways of shlemut, whether it's nefesh or guf. It just is so. Says HaRambam, the Torah is given al pi harov. God could have, and he'll write about this in a moment or two, acted like a doctor giving a prescription to one and another to a different one, but says HaRambam, it's not the way purposefully he chose to do it.
Rav doesn't mean just one generation, Rav this one. I'm saying, in times it's going to work, but these people, then a certain amount of people will tell everyone Latin and go back to the majority.
So you're saying that you're making it even more powerful in terms of how it might not always hit. There might be a generation in which a mitzvah or 10 or 20 don't hit, but in the majority of time, it will hit. Yeah, point taken. He says that's the way it works in nature. Ki hakol me'eloa ehad, both, as the note points out, it's referring to the Torah and nature are both from the same divine being, umipoel ehad, and from one causer, meaning God, nitenu meroe ehad, masheshone mizot nimna. For it to be different than this, meaning if the rules of nature are such that it's not always going to affect in the same way, under all circumstances, at all times. So to Torah, it's just nimna. It's impossible that it'll be different. Ukvar hivharnu, and we already explained, shele nimna teva kavua sheno mishtane le'olam. Behetem litboninut zot, gam ii efshar shamitzvah titiyahesna l'shoni matzavehen shel b'nei adam pratiyim u'l'shoni hazmanim b'dome l'tipul harifui. Continues HaRambam, and he says, in following this through, understand that the Torah, much as nature, won't be bent one way or another based on times or circumstances. Nature is set in place. It's true, there are miracles, but generally speaking, 99.9999% of the time, we're not dealing with bending the rules of nature. So too, the Torah isn't being bent. He says that's in contrast to, well, his other passion, and that's medicine. He says medicine, by definition, will need to be given to each individual based on their circumstance, timing, and situation. Sheken ha-tipul ha-refu'i miyuhad l'kol prat behetem l'mizgo ha-nochichi. He says the way you're going to prescribe as a doctor is appropriate to the person based on their temperature, based on their specifics. Ela ra'ui shan hagata Torah tiyeh muhletet. Torah will be like nature. It will be absolute, unchanging, unwavering, unbent. Miyu'edet lekulam. It's purposed for all. Afilu im ze matim la'anashim mesuyamim. Even if sometimes, oftentimes, it'll match up with the lives and ways of others. Ve'lo matim la'achirim, even if it doesn't to others. Kilu haya ze behetem la'anashim kipratim. Had the Torah been built in a fashion that there's a specific medicine and cure for each individual, haya nigram kilkul lakol, that would be destructive. Venatata devarecha leshi'urin, the Torah would become somewhat, as I understand it, subjective. That's a rabbinic term which refers to the fact that, generally speaking, the rabbis won't give something which is subjectively determined. It's, as a matter of fact, one of the major purposes of the rabbinic direction of Talmud and Mishnah. They took concepts which the Torah wasn't refined or defined entirely. What is the definition of Vehagita bo yomam v'layla? What does it mean? So the rabbis, morning and evening. So they quantified. What is the definition? So they gave quantifications for all sorts of things. If not, natata devarecha leshi'urim. If not, the rabbis try to stay away from this. For one, it's going to be this, and for another one, it's going to be that. They generally, so says HaRambam, had the Torah been such, natata devarecha leshi'urim, That's a kilkul. That's destructive in nature. It takes away from, as I understand it, even though he's not saying it explicitly, the solid nature, the lasting nature, the power and the force of Torah, because it can dissipate, it can be depreciated. If it's not relevant to you, so then you won't, and so forth. Says Harambam, Mishum kach lo ra'ui likshor et hadivarim shatorah mitkavenet elehem kavana rishona, lo bizman velo bemakom, ela hadinim yihyu muhlatim vekolelim. Again, he's following that statement by saying, and therefore, don't confine mitzvot to time and people. Assume that mitzvot are relevant eternally. Again, this is, by the way, the other, you know, direction to what we began talking about last week, and I don't want to do that right now. If you make the question of korbanot, if we take Arambam's words in the Moreh, as they seem to be, strongly stated, korbanot are a concession because of the tendency to avodah zarah. Why would he write in his Mishneh Torah, if we're accepting them both as truthful and his full intent, that in the third mikdash there's going to be korbanot? Unless, well, we're going based on majority. It's hard. That approach is a little bit hard because, well, you're going to have to first and foremost do a bimal, and you're going to have to say, well, majority means over the course of time, but then what are you assuming? This third temple is going to be destructive. Okay, not so easy. But what his statement is nonetheless is that the way the mitzvot were structured is such that they'll be constantly binding because that's their nature and force. They'll lose a strength if you and I determine, well, this is irrelevant to us today, or that one shouldn't be relevant for him or for them. Kemoshe amar yit'ala. In truth, that's what God says. Hakahal. Hukah ahat lachem. The concept is there's a hukah ahat that gives a strength to a law system. When you're dealing in the world of law, you need certain principles which are objectively binding to all. Aval yavou beheshbon ha-to'alot ha-klaliyot ha-mo'ilot lerov ha-tzibur kemo shivharnu. Says Harambam, don't let this take away too much from what I'm about to do. Because what I'm about to do is to tell you all mitzvot have a reason. Wait a second, but it might not be relevant to you. Okay, but it is relevant to the majority. Difficulties. No question. Difficulties. Slavery is easier. Slavery is easier for the following reason, because it's not a mandate. There's no mitzvah. It's a reality. It could exist. It's still hard. I said it's easier. It's still hard because it's unethical. You know, there's much. What about Amalek? I mean, that's, you know, up there as well. Le'ahar shehikdamti haktamot ele, writes Arambam, after I finish these introductions, atchil lavhir et mashit kavanti lavhir, I will now clarify that which I set forth to clarify. Okay, we're not going to deal with those clarifications just now. We're going to spend a little bit more time analyzing the words of Arambam in this chapter. So first and foremost, I'd like to read a little bit from this book together with you. It's a book that I quoted last week without even addressing anything he wrote, but I told you the name, Harambam Kefilosof Ukeposek. It's an academic book. It's written by Yaakov Levinger. I don't know his full biography, but it's an excellent book. And again, much of it is really dealing with, well, what the name is describing it as dealing with. Harambam Kefilosof Ukeposek. How do you deal with his philosophical side, while at the same time his legal side? Oftentimes those are contradictory. We kind of saw one last week where we kind of tried to deal with it in a certain respect. Well, over here, he's dealing with this chapter in some 5-6 pages, but I'd like to just read one portion of it together. On page 150 here, in the second to last paragraph, which begins with B'she'ela Zo. B'she'ela Zo. We'll read together. He's really, in the two paragraphs that I'd like to read, he's quoting from someone named Shimshon Rosenthal. Probably Rosenthal, if it was in English. But, I mean, another scholar of sorts in terms of dealing with the novelty of Harambam. So we're not really pushing things forward in this reading. We're noticing and realizing that Harambam's statements over here are very much, my words, on the side of the posek as opposed to the philosoph. He's going to quote in here that one of the role models in the philosophical world of Harambam, Aristotle, deals with the same issue in the same type of context, not Torah, but the legal context, and says you have a legal system in which there's a law which doesn't match this person, those people, that time, this community. What do you do then? And Aristotle does exactly what Harambam says a good law system, a godlike law, a godly law system should not do. He says, "B'she'ela zo o al kupanim she'ela ha'govelet ba'dan b'ha'amaka meruba Eliezer, I'm sorry, Eliezer Shimshon Rosenthal. Hu he'emid al kach she'aristo, Aristo is Aristotle, kvar hit'habet b'ba'aya ma'ya'aseh ha'dayan." So he's summarizing what he wrote, which is fine for us. "B'mikre miyuhad v'harig she'bo en ti'um ben midat ha'tzedek, l'fi ha'chok v'ha'mishpat, u'ben ha'psak ha'ra'ui she'bo asiyat ha'tov ha'yashar, לא תהלום את ההכרעה על פי אמות המידה הכלליות של החוק." Aristotle dealt with, what do you do when a law system is a just law system? However, circumstantially, for this individual, for this situation, it's not going to affect them positively. It's going to be negative if they're to adhere to the law. We can think of examples. I mean, you can come up with dozens, if not hundreds, of examples. And in turn, you know, this past week someone passed away, and my students in the school are asking who he was. O.J. Simpson. Can you imagine? Kids don't know who O.J. Simpson was, you know. And what I tried to explain, at least in my understanding of him, leave all the schmutz aside, think about who he was in a legal sense. Here's an individual who fascinatingly, this is my take on it, portrays a American law system with all its, quote, flaws and just realities. On the one hand, a case in which everyone was convinced he was guilty, but couldn't be convicted as being guilty, right? On the one hand, you have a legal system which kind of didn't deal in the way maybe we believed it should have with the individual when we were certain, just can't prove it based on the technicalities of the system as such. That's what reminds me initially of this. Let me take you further to the later part of his life when he finally does go to jail for a long period of time in a circumstance that the average person would say he's not deserving of that. His own goods were stolen from him, at which point he does do the wrong thing in going at gunpoint to hold them up and take them hostage in some respect, whatever the crazy story is. And for that, he goes to jail for a decade, almost a decade of years. It's an amazing thing. There, you'd rationalize with him. It to a certain extent, in each of those situations, can you imagine, quote, Aristotle saying, wait a second, I know the system might work this way, but we're going to have to change it. Now, lehavdil, I'm turning American law into Torah law, but I'm trying to bring that forth as these sorts of situations where you could hear the Aristotelian angle on this philosophically. If the system's supposed to be bringing forth justice, and I don't believe it is based on this situation or that situation, well, then we should change it. There's certainly dangers in that. The system loses a lot of its efficacy. The system becomes a lot more difficult to deal with. But on the other hand, it keeps, quote-unquote, its truthfulness. Rosenthal he'emid gam al mekomot acherim etzel Aristo, shebaem hudan b'she'ela zo v'sikem et teshuvato shel Aristo lemor, b'mikrim harigim ka'elu. Harigim again means rare. In these rare situations, yehe al hadayan, lo lifsok, the judge should not determine al pi mashma'uto ha'peshuta shel ha'chok ha'klali. Don't go by the general law book and system. Ela le'ered le'sof kavanato shel ha'mechokek. Get to the bottom intention, the true intention of the lawgiver and maker, even though it's not in his words, even though it's not in the system as it's being met right now. U'la'achriya behet'im lo'ta kavana shel ishma nechkak ha'chok. And to determine based on the spirit of the law. She'ulai le'gabe mikre miyuhad v'harim. Based on this rare situation, you're not going to find it in the law books, but you're going to have to read between the lines, or you're going to have to determine it. That's what he writes, Aristotle says. Yeah.
Not what Harambam is going to say.
Opposite of Harambam, okay. Which is fascinating. Right? In other words, Harambam, who's so influenced by Aristotle on this matter, gives the nod to the pesach, to the dayanu, to the halacha, so to speak, over philosophy, whereas Aristotle gives the nod to the philosophy over that, right? In other words, that's the contrast. That's really all I want to read this together with.
Nicely by saying, if this is what it says to do, do it.
Correct. Correct.
I agree with it, but this is what it
Correct. I do have a little bit more in store this week, a little bit of a spin, but indeed. So Samuel, we already kind of set this in motion last week in suggesting that a law system known as halakha has different principles
Can
to
I
it.
Bring in an example?
Of course.
Not to,
maybe it'll be much better than mine.
To
yeah.
The OJ,
yeah, that's what came to mind.
Something a little bit more
Please. I'd like that. Thank you. Be my goel. Yeah.
This is your domain more so than mine. If you have a woman who has an extended menstruation cycle, she's trying to give birth, she's trying to get pregnant, she's trying to create life, and the fact that she's having an issue with the impure period of time,
excellent,
that she's mourning the loss of life, it's preventing her from potentially
excellent.
Creating life. So
excellent.
You have a Pesach that says, but how do you reconcile? She has to follow the rule. But
excellent.
If you follow the rule, she doesn't.
You lost the spirit of the law. Excellent.
So,
oh, I got another one.
Okay,
how about this? I mean, we could come up with hundreds, right? How about this one? It's coming up. Pesach is coming up, but then comes Shavuot. What about Megillat Rut? Megillat Rut has this underlying difficulty that the Torah seems to tell us explicitly, you're not allowed to get married to Moav. And yet, the hero of the story is a woman from Moav who is the great-great-grandmother of David HaMelech, whom we seem to like kind of just be like, oh yeah, that's okay, without ever addressing it. So the rabbis in the Gemara have difficulty with this, and ultimately speaking, find some sort of derasha, which they, after the fact, say was a halakha Moshe Sinai, which maybe was forgotten in their interpretation of this, that it's only a Moavi, but not a Moaviyah, who's barred entrance into Am Yisrael. It's another one of, without getting into the specifics of how that worked, which is very hard, but it's another one of these. Well, I understand initially, so to speak, the Torah made this claim because the Moavites had some sort of way to them. The Torah tells us their way. They don't know how to be Gomel Chesed. But here's an individual who is the embodiment of Chesed, almost inappropriately so, Ruth, she gives herself entirely up. Over here, do we push it aside? So again, in your case, unfortunately, I imagine you have too many stories where the system has been too rigid. Over there, ironically, fascinatingly, somehow this happened and nobody seems to, you know, hide it. Okay, lots of tantalizing, you know, issues that come to the fore with this, but indeed, indeed, indeed. The simple interpretation of that would be, again, the rabbis are struggling with this, and ultimately speaking, talk about a halakha Moshe Sinai. The question is, how are you determining what that means? So then what were they struggling with? But yes, if I just read the Megillah and I struggle with it as such, and I say it was accepted, it seems to be Aristotelian. On the other hand, we can have so many examples the other way. So yes, no doubt. But your example is probably a very powerful and true one. As a matter of fact,
right. People have come to you with that issue, but
yes, yes. Rabbi Soloveitchik, as a matter of fact, had many cases similar. I remember reading more than once that he described situations. He described a situation where a husband, he doesn't even go, I mean, you're really saying it sadly, in a beautiful fashion because it's so sad, but he describes a husband and wife, newlywed, who are really at the peak of their romantic connectedness, maybe not in terms of bringing forth life with a child, but the woman goes to the bathroom and sees blood, and now she's torn apart. But we're literally in that moment. Because of that, you ruined everything. This was not the purpose of it, so to speak. Yes. Okay, among many others. Aristo gam medaber al takana miyuhedet sheraui lahatkin limikre miyuhad kaze kachu mamlit al hashitat ha-peshara. Peshara means a compromise. Aristotle talks about a compromise. Sha'al ha-dayan linkot b'mikrim kigonelu. Sometimes the judge needs to find a compromise. Sometimes he needs to determine law based on some in between. Al hadayan mutal ledat aristo lehatim et gizar dino lemikre miyuhad kaze. The dayan, the judge, to put it in Harambam's words, needs to be like a doctor, according to Aristotle. What's that? There is a loss of constancy. There's a more shaky system, which is going to be a lot more humanly determined and governed? No question. Le'omat Aristo to'en Rosenthal, lo kayam davar kaze etzel harambam. HaTorah, now, you see, Levinger goes on to, we're not even going to read this part, after this paragraph, to note there is something called, you know, there is something called sha'at hadahak, there is something called a circumstance like Eliyahu on Har HaKarmel, where the rabbis do say, if it's a circumstance, a situation which is so pressing that you need to move away from halakha, that does exist. Here we're talking about individuals. Le'omat Aristo, Toren Rosenthal, lo kayam davar zeh kazeh etzel Harambam. And when we're talking about individuals, HaTorah, shehi ledaat Harambam, HaChokeh Elohi, nikbe'a lefi tzorcheh harov. The Torah, as a divine document, as a divine system, was given based on the majority of it. Shelo kerofeh, en yechola HaTorah leithashev v'tzorchav hapratiyim shel kol adam. Rosenthal mevi kereaya levenoto et daat Harambam, nosaf al haketa hametzutat le'el, gam et tshuvato. Okay, you could read that. It brings an example with regards to Harambam's approach in a Tishu B'Av about music. It's an interesting suggestion. Here, if you'll go to the last three lines of this, I think is a well-put last three lines, if I may say so myself. Ubinisuach yafeh, Omer Rosenthal, Aristo nishar filosof, gam bemakom shulan be'omko shel chok. Aristotle stayed maintained his philosophical stance even in the legal framework. Rabbeinu, meaning Harambam, nishar ba'al halakha, he remained a legalist, a lawyer, af b'shashu mitzayer hamuskalot benafsho, even as he's about to get philosophical about the mitzvot. Go ahead.
If we go back to the beginning where we said it's going to be for the majority, and some of these cases are not that big, because you might have to legally be stopped.
Well, that's what he said.
Yeah.
That's right.
So it's,
because that's a minority case.
But because
that's a minority. Because for them, that's right. That's Harambam's approach to this. Whereas Aristotle would not have it. Okay. Why
can't it just be a simpler, this is the Torah, and this is what we do, versus a legal system? It's effectively that.
In other words, effectively, if you were to knock on Harambam's door and ask him, how are you going against Aristotle? I think his response would be, this is divine, that's right. Not. And as such, we can't determine that. But what I'd like to ask now is, and here's where the most controversial part comes. Well, I get it. That's what Harambam tells me is the purpose and direction of the Torah. That's the way this entity works. It works based on majority, and it's not supposed to, I'm putting in quotation marks, be determined by individual circumstances. What if you did so? What if I'm in that situation and I made that decision? Was I entirely wrong, or is there room, since ultimately speaking, philosophically, I am acting in line with Torah, a concept known as Avera Lishma? What would someone like Harambam, who's steadfast to the philosophical underpinnings, direction, and purpose of mitzvot, what would his perspective be on that? Now, his words as they met the eye very clearly were, no room for that. Is there no room for that? Or there's little room for that. Now, if I'm not philosophical, I say, what type of room is there for that? You do, you don't do. Don't make up your own reasons. We don't know the reasons. How do you mean? Of course we know the reasons. That's the whole thing. We're looking for the reasons. So I'd like to spend a few minutes now developing some of, to the best of my knowledge, the most traditional sources on this matter, and specifically focused on source number 4 on the page in front of you, which is from Harambam's introduction to Pirkei Avot, known as his 8 chapters, his Shemona Perakim. First and foremost, the Gemara in Masechet Nazir and Daf Kaf Gimel. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzhak. Now, lest you believe that 5 sources will do justice to this, you are highly mistaken. I spent maybe 4 hours 2 years ago on Shavuot talking about this, and we hit the tip of the iceberg. I've done on recording several hours on this as well. On other occasions, there's so much, obviously, to be discussed, deliberated. There's so much precedent, so many. Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein has a good 30-page article on this, of which, well, if you read it, you'll understand all of us, 70% of it. But in other words, there just is it's such a rich and it's a very exciting but scary thing to talk about. I want the Torah. The Torah is supposed to make sense, which Harambam just told me. But what if it doesn't over here? What do I do? So Harambam just told us in this chapter, in the words of Abi, that's life. Okay, is there any traditional sources? Has there been any circumstances over the course of our history where someone or some circumstances come to the fore where we've either determined collectively, individually, or whatever to do otherwise? What's that?
You said
Hora'at Sha'ah is for nation. Hora'at Sha'ah needs to be for the nation. I want to know individual. So you're right, our first source will not be sufficient because it'll be for the nation, potentially. Amar of Nachman by Yitzhak, gedola avera lishma mi mitzvah shelo lishma. Statement is, it's greater to sin with the right intention, defined by all our examples and others, aside from the OJ, obviously, mitzvah shelo lishma, than even doing a mitzvah without the right intention. V'hamar av Yehuda, marav, wait a second, I thought mitzvah shelo lishma is actually great. Le'onam yazok adam b'torah mitzvot, afilu shelo lishman, shebitoch shelo lishman b'lishman, without getting into that. Effectively, the upshot of that line is, it's great to do mitzvot even without the right intention. Ela, ema, rather, what he meant to say is, ki mitzvah shelo lishma, which means to say, doing a mitzvah with the right intent, with the wrong intention is just as good, defined accordingly, as an avera with the right intention. Dichtiv, as the pasuk says, Tevorah utevorach minashim ya'el eshet hever hakeni minashim ba'ohel tevorach. The pasuk praises a woman known as Ya'el, my sister's name, who committed a sin in order to kill Sisera, the general of the enemy. She sleeps with him, she gets him sleepy, sleeps with him, and then kills him. Manashim sheba ohel, the derasha of the rabbis is Ya'el is so great, she's like the women in the tent. She indeed was in a tent. But who are the tent women who she's like? Sarah Rivka Rahelvelea. Ya'el with her sin, with the right intention, was like Sarah Rivka Rahelvelea. That is a getting your heart beat Gemara. The statement is pretty jarring, yes? Mitzvah haba ba'avera, at the very beginning of the third chapter of Masechet Sukkah, we talk about a concept known as mitzvah haba ba'avera, which means to say that I should not, and as a matter of fact, I might not fulfill the mitzvah by procuring it, getting it through a sin. So I sin. That's a little bit different, but it's definitely related. Over there, I stole and then performed the mitzvah. Over here, through the avera, I'm doing something positive. So it's a one step removed. However, I mean, there is much to be said. There's a very famous article, if not his most famous article, written by the famous great Jewish historian, Gershom Scholem. It was called Mitzvah Haba'aba Avera. And in it, he talks about many of the Sabbatian sect, those who were followers and adherents of Shabtai Tzvi, how, again, I'm simplifying, much of their approach in terms of when everything went awry. They followed in 1665 this false Messiah individual. Even when he converted to Islam, even when he was telling people beforehand to sin, to eat on Kippur, to sleep with women on Kippur, to sleep with harlots on Kippur, to himself while eating chalev. What was the underlying concept in that and many others? Mitzvah haba avera. Now again, there's a greater depth to the article, which is brilliant, if I may say so again, myself. But the concept is, again, he's using the word, you know, conveniently in the similar sense. Yeah, it's a similar concept we have over the course of time, so to speak, said, mitzvah haba avera, loosely speaking, not so bad. You're right. We have other statements otherwise. But this Gemara that now, you could rationalize, and as a matter of fact, I'm really getting off the rails on this, but that's okay. We'll bring it back in a moment. You could, based on this Gemara, go in terrible directions. As a matter of fact, during the time of the growth of Hasidut, which comes afterwards, there was a fear that the early Hasidim were going against Halakha for the right intention. Until today, many Hasidim will eat before prayer in the morning, not adhere to the times of prayer. But it's not, no, but we have more Kavana. That sounds like Avera Lishma. So Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner, who was opposing them, wrote at length against this. And he said, how dare you? Hey, what about this Gemara? If I remember correctly, in the book Keterosh, he has to resolve this Gemara. Go ahead.
Just to summarize.
Yes.
Mitzvah HaBa'Avera is, to be said in English, is essentially perceiving that the ends justify the means, whereas this is It's not an ends justifying a means. It's I'm violating something because I actually...
For the intention... Correct. Violated. Correct. So to speak, this is easier to accept than a mitzvah haba avera.
It's legislatively not allowed. We don't allow that.
I agree with you. So Rab Chaim Volozhin in the book Keter Rosh, that's right, because again, there I'm saying the ends justifies the means. Over here I'm saying the act is a positive act, even though it looks wrong.
It looks wrong. It's against Torah, but I'm doing it because something's different. I have to do it. I have to do this right. thing because that's Eliyahu, the example that you give
him. Yeah. So he argues, yeah, okay, you're going to kill him. The Ya'el situation, he says, was either maybe to save all of Am Yisrael, so that's like a Hora Acha type of thing, or he gives a Kabbalistic notion. Ya'el is a Gilgul of Hava, whatever he means with that. But Rab Chaim Volozhin is struggling with this. Well, no, but my purpose in mentioning that is he's struggling with the Gemara. This Gemara is talking about Aveir al-Lishma. He feels threatened by that in light of what he sees as a sect which is threatening traditional Judaism. Gemara in Masechet Berachot. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Now, let me remind you that those who say, the simple-minded individuals say, you're studying the Moreh without knowing what's in the Moreh. Oh, it's too much philosophy. It's going to take you off the right track. This is always their claim. You're going to start sinning because you think you know better than Torah. Understood. Understood fully. Remember, mitzvah haba aba avera, Shabtai Tzvi. Indeed. Gemara in Masechet Berachot and Daf Samech Gimal has the following statement. Arash bar kapara, very end of the tractate, very end of Masechet Berachot, a small, seemingly innocuous line. Ezohi parasha ktana shekol gufe Torah teluyin ba. The question was, what a beautiful derasha. What's one pasuk that the whole Torah is dependent upon? Of course, you could give any answer you'd like. His answer, bechol derachecha da'ehu. You should know God in all your ways, and He will straighten your path. Amar Rava afilu lidvar avera ule. Rava says, even for matters of sin. What does that mean? Know God in all your ways. He'll straighten it even when you're sinning? Says Rashi. No, not any sin. Kegon, says Eliyahu, says Rashi. Eliyahu behara karmel. If it's hora acha. If it's that type of case, okay. National saving, identity, Avodah Zarah, okay. Your small ones, it's almost as if he's apologizing, Rashi, in this line. Your small issues, no. Harambam, in his introduction to Pirkei Avot, and this is what we were leading to, you know something? Right before Harambam. Let's read number 5 first. Number 5, and then we'll go back to Harambam because we are studying Harambam. We should see him last. There are derashot of a rabbi whose name was Rabbeinu Yehoshua ibn Shu'ib. He was a Spanish, if I'm not mistaken, 13th century, maybe 14th century rabbi. And he has derashot, you know, his discourses. And I have a book that summarizes and deals with them, written by Carmi Horowitz. A beautiful book, and his derashot, many of them are very beautiful, if not all that. He writes in the following, out of context. But Chelek Bet, page Tafayin Dal. Velachem, ha'adam shuhu adam al ha'emet, mishtamesh bo bidvarim mehem tzorech ha'olam ha'hechrechiyim. A person needs to use this world stuff in order to raise himself. Kemo she'amru zal bechol derachecha da'ehu v'afilu dvar avera perush ba'achila. She'em inyan gerimat averot yitkavenu bahem l'shem shamayim. What a beautiful explanation to the Gemara. When Abaye said afilu lidvar avera, he means quote-unquote avera. Avera prone situations. You can go to the restaurant, eat gluttonously, eat not kosher, eat whatever. You can also go and say berachot and connect to God through the eating. That's the interpretation. That's a nice interpretation to the Gemara. So bechol derachecha, even in the situations that would be prone to, do it in sexual relations. You can go after it with lust, with passion for the wrong thing. You could do it for a relationship with your wife, to get closer to her, and so on and so forth. Yesh mefarshim, he writes, Rabbi Yehoshua ibn Shu'ib, afilu avera mamash, im kavanato l'shem shamayim. Kemo shamru gedela avera lishma ukein ya'el. How do you like that? He wrote it. His second interpretation.
What's her avera? Murder?
No. Sleeping with him.
Oh.
She slept.
Say that?
It doesn't. The rabbis assume it.
No.
So the rabbis assume it.
He's using that.
Rashi writes it in the Gemara there in Nazir. It's got to be. Rashi, al she'aseta ve'al ishma kedei lahatish kocho shel oto rasha. In order to diminish his strength, she slept with him. The rabbis understand. That's right. That's correct. Okay. Well, so that's it. So we did hit someone who does read that Gemara in Berachot kipshuto, and it brings us back to number one, and he's invoking that as well. Not per se going to be the mainstream opinion or approach. It does already get us wondering about what Harambam would respond to this. Would Harambam be entirely disgusted by such approaches? I can't imagine. Would he say, I don't know if that's so simple? Well, that's kind of what he told us in this chapter. He told us in this chapter, Torah's not always going to make sense to you because you might be in that minority situation. What does Harambam himself do with this Gemara? Lucky for us, in his introduction to Pirkei Avot, in Perikei of the Shemona Pirakim, Bechol Nafshecha, is being doresh that pasuk in Kriyat Shema, Bechol Halkei Nafshecha, Shetase Tachlit Kol Chalek Mimena Tachlit Achat, Vehi Le'ahavat Hashem. Make certain that you dedicate yourself to that loyalty, that devotion to God. Ukvar hizhir ha-navi azeh gamkin. You should know that the prophet as well spoke about something similar. That same pasuk from Mishle. Bechol derachecha da'ehu. Pirshu hazal v'amru afilu l'dvar avira. What does that mean? Uresonam lomar. Shetasim la'po'al ha'hu tachlit v'hi ha'emet. Afal pi sheyesh ba avera mitzad ehad. The words of Harambam are, you should be focused on truth with your action, even though it does have aspects of sin in that action. Ukvar kalilu hazal ze ha'inyan kulo bekitzra b'milim mu'atot morot al ze ha'inyan. Now he's not explicit. He doesn't mention Ya'el, but he does say, Ha'emet, your focus is on the purpose, which is truth, even though it has a sin, mitzad ehad. To argue that he means the sin from one side means, I don't know, eating, difficult. To argue that he means hora'at sha'a when he doesn't say it, like Eliyahu and Har HaKarmel, difficult as well. The most simple but jarring interpretation of the words of here of Harambam are that in very pressing situations, there is a intuitive, even hidden, nod from the rabbis to a concept known as Aver Alishma. It's not something we're going to talk about. It's not something we're going to promote. It is something that's going to be slipped in from time to time. Chacham Uvadia Yosef, as a matter of fact, inappropriate place, doesn't matter. He mentions it there as part of his teshubah. Chacham Uvadia Yosef's teshubah about an all-girls school where the girls are coming inappropriately dressed with two short and provocative miniskirts. And the question is, in turn, if we allow for them to wear pants, they'll be more sanwa, they'll be more modestly dressed. Is that appropriate? So he says, well, pants once upon a time was for women, begedish, it was men's clothing. That's no longer the reality. Just go to Zara's. I think they sell more women's pants than men's pants. So he says, maybe it's a siniut thing. A siniut is not an objective reality. Siniut is by definition determined by, well, how it's worn, what the societal norms, etc. are. Therefore, says Chacham Vadia Yosef famously, with trepidation, but he suggests until you get them onto the straight path where he does, his straight path is them wearing skirts. He's explicit about that. There's no manipulating his words. He says, but it is okay, it may be appropriate for them to be wearing those pants. Says Chacham Vadia Yosef at the end, by the way, let me tell you some ma'amarim of the Chachamim. I know you're going to say it's inappropriate over here, but he does mention it over there. He kind of jumps in and he says, by the way, the rabbis say, Gadol Aver Alishma, by the way, and then he quotes, and I didn't put it on this page, but when I talk about this, I generally speaking do. There is as well, usually my source number 6 on this is from Sefer Hasidim, Rabbeinu Yehuda Hasid. Rabbeinu Yehuda Hasid is talking about a person who feels so passionately that he can't and won't overcome the temptation of either sleeping with his wife when she's a nida or sleeping with an eshet ish. I don't remember the specific, maybe he's talking about both. For such an individual, he writes, he instructed such an individual, not in every sense, to ejaculate. Oh, but wait a second, shvichut zera levatala is a sin which the rabbis talk about and are very in it's a gadol avera lishma. It's a little bit different in those cases. In those cases, not the same thing. You might be saying it's one of two in Yenat. In other words, in what we've been addressing until now is the Avera will bring you in the positive direction. Over there, it's in a lesser evil direction. Regardless, I bring us back to our issue. Yes, before I do.
You can't say that from what Jazz example.
Agreed.
Agreed. Agreed.
Agreed, AB. I'm just excited that he's willing to even quote this Gemara. In other words, he's willing to say there is validity to this Gemara. That's all. And I'm not promoting this. I don't have a new direction over here. I think
it's the opposite.
Go ahead.
The fact that this is where he's giving, this is the example he's giving, and this is what he's quoting, meaning that there's no credence to it. Like, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about girls wearing bands. It's different than going to a restaurant and saying
barakah. I understand. So you're on the AB direction. AB saying it's so diminished, he's willing to use it there. I hear you, but he's giving it something. He is still mentioning. Okay, regardless, so leave scratch that from the record. For our purposes, and I was really led on to talking about this commentary of Harambam from Professor Levinger, who does cite this at the end of this chapter, when he as well, because he led me to this, is addressing the same type of thing in saying, as much as Harambam made clear to us over the course of this chapter, that we're really just going based on the majority in Torah, and that's going to need to be adhered under all circumstances, that doesn't per se mean that there won't be, so to speak, the side nod from the Almighty in a circumstance where you are that minority and you acted differently. Do I want to be making that decision for you? No. Do I think that we need to be responsible? I do. I do at the same time think, Harambam says, I do understand these Gemarot. They might be an ideal. They might be out and we wouldn't put it into application, but it does match his general direction and philosophy over here. That's 100% correct. That's 100% correct. By definition, it will need to be unspoken without being a rule and set in place. That is right. So that is very much what I want to just read to you, that line where he writes about this.
הסברו של הרמב״ם אינו מובן לי אלא אם כן נפרשו שלפעמים יש לעשות פעולה שיש בה איסור מבחינת החוק הדתי המשותף לכולם.
This is the only way I can explain these words of הרמב״ם in פירוש המשניות in פרק ה' שמונה פרקים is that sometimes, again, won't be able to be codified, there will be a sin when I look at the general sense, which is appropriate, כי במקרה מיוחד זה היא מוליכה במשרין או בעקיפין, it's direct or indirect, going to lead a person להכרת הכל, to identifying sin. זו הכרה שהיא שלמותו הגדולה של אדם. Ultimately speaking, that is the הכרה, that is the identification that we're searching and seeking for in life. In short, to put it all together, the danger of Harambam that people speak about with regards to philosophizing or over-philosophizing anything, and certainly halakha, really hits the ground, or it comes to the fore when you address this chapter in the Moreh. This chapter in the Moreh, however, takes away the whole sting, because this chapter in the Moreh says, it's true, that's life, it's going to be not always so pretty in terms of the philosophical direction or effectiveness that mitzvot will have upon you. You'll be in those minority situations. It's just going to be so. In contrast to Aristotle, who says the lawmaker or the contemporary lawmaker needs to be like a doctor, Harambam says, absolutely not. The lawmaker needs to adhere to the law and nothing more than that. At the same time, though, Harambam confuses us a bit when he appeals to this Gemara of Afilu Lidvar Avera, and he does open us up to the thought that, although we can't mention this in writing as a rule, although this can't be the principle with which Torah and Halakha is governed, there is room for that, specifically within a framework such as Harambam's, where the mitzvot have a specific purpose, where their objective is hakarat hakel, is to bring me to identification and knowledge and connection with God. And if you're telling me and are certain based on this circumstance that is the reality, then how could we tell you, or how could you tell yourself in that objective sense, that this is the wrong thing to be doing at this time? All right, Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen.